Om Shanti. Baba's been talking about the third eye a few times this week and again today. That Baba comes and opens our third eye, and it's through this that we see the whole story of history and geography of the world. And it's a fact that we see the whole story, and people have been trying to find out what's happening at the beginning of time, and of course they haven't been able to. They spend billions and billions on that project at CERN in Switzerland just to find out what happened at the beginning. And of course there isn't a beginning in that way, and so they're never going to be able to find it. And I don't think they understand what the concept of eternity is, and so they would be totally puzzled. Well, how did it begin? How come it didn't begin? What's happening? And so just as at the end, we know for a fact that people will have visions. Visions of Shiv Baba, visions of Brahma Baba, so that people carry away that last awareness. I wonder if there comes a moment in their existence where they do understand and experience eternity. I hope they do. And when the Science Museum had the Festival of India, there was a little plaque on one of the walls as an exhibit, and there were lots of artifacts that they had found from the Copper Age, presumably, of surgery used at that time, way back thousands of years ago in Bharat, very sophisticated methods of dentistry, all of those things. But the plaque was the most interesting for me because it stated something like, only a mind that has experienced infinity can understand the concept of zero. And that stuck in my head after all these years. But that experience of eternity, infinity, definitely something that Baba gives us the experience of. And so knowing absolutely how Satyug begins, and then knowing how Kaliyug ends, and we go home, and again Satyug comes, at this moment, we are the ones who hold all the secrets that God has. The other thing that I liked very much was when Baba said, Baba is the benefactor and he makes you children become the same. And to be a benefactor, truly, truly, in that fuller sense, in which you want nothing for yourself, and you just want there to be benefit for all others. That comes when there's total fulfillment within. Otherwise, I want benefit for others, but I'm also looking for ways to benefit myself. And if truly I feel Baba has given me everything, in fact, more than I need, I think most of us would say that. That Baba's given us more than we actually need. And so what more is there to want? Nothing more. And then, in that state of contentment and fulfillment, yes, you can genuinely be a benefactor and be able to give, give, give without expectation, without waiting for the return or waiting for an account to finish. None of that. Otherwise, there's always that mental note kept, I have given this much, and so what is the return I'm getting from this individual? Can I just simply be like Baba and be the benefactor and give? And so Baba's teaching us, and we're getting there number-wise. So yes, the stage of happiness number-wise, the stage of being able to have that pure feeling and good wishes for all, absolutely everyone, like the benefactor. Think about the times you met Baba, and I know that not everybody in this room had the experience of actually taking drishti from Baba, but I know that more than half did. And so just remember what the drishti did for you. And Baba totally full, totally complete and content. And so Baba's drishti is able to lift you way up above all the things that are happening here. And it became a timeless moment. And in terms of physical time, it was just a moment that we were able to take drishti from Baba sometimes. Some of us a lot more, but generally towards the last few years, it was just coming in front of Baba in a line and taking drishti. But even that moment was very rich and fulfilling. And so I have to come to that same state as Baba, absolutely full and content, and then nothing but good wishes and pure feelings, and I can be like Baba, the benefactor for all. And so that aspect of benefit. So Baba talks a lot about Hindu bhakti, because that's the first bhakti that started, with the confusion in other bhakti also, in every bhakti. Ask questions and no answers. And so here Baba giving us clear explanation for everything. That's the other factor that I was also thinking about. So where we asked many questions and the answers that we were given were unsatisfactory, we would say we were being told it's a mystery, human minds can't understand this, so what more can you say? Okay, full stop. You can't ask questions if you're just told it's a mystery and there's no answer. And then Bharat being told, oh, because it's written in the scriptures thousands of years ago, so it must be true. And so it wasn't very encouraging to try and explore more within those traditions. But today, Baba's answers for every single question that we may have on two levels, the theory, but also the practical application. Baba's answers in terms of how it can apply practically, also very, very clear. This is what you do step by step by step. So Baba's merely underlining all of that. And I am fascinated by this idea that comes in the Murli, in the Avyakt signal, that we see that everything is ready and it's time to go home. And people know that one presses the button, the other one retaliates, and Om Shanti, it'll be time to go home. And they keep coming to that point where it feels as if it's going to happen, but they push back. And Baba was saying that it's because your volcanic stage of yoga isn't happening yet. And when you reach your stage of volcanic yoga, then yes, everything will finish. Your accounts are settled, but also the transformation of the elements, the transformation of people, the world, everything will happen automatically. And so this month, the specific points about volcanic yoga. There was a question that Moini Didi was asked in one of the classes with her recently. And the question was, I'll share the Hindi words because I don't remember how they get translated into English and how they differentiate, but the stage of lagan, just love, and the stage of magan, being absolutely intoxicated and lost in that love, And then the third stage that Baba uses is a semi-English expression, love-lean, merged in love. And so the first, the love, yes, number-wise, and not just number-wise for each one, but in each one's experience, number-wise. So today, a lot of love. Tomorrow, things are occupying space in my head, and so I'm not allowing myself to feel God's love, because when there's a lot of things going on in here, then it cuts off the connection. And when the connection is cut, then you don't feel that love or that presence. And so, number-wise, love. But can I keep that love consistent and constant and allow it to keep growing? And yes, it's up to me to make sure I make the space, but also the sense of gratitude. When there's a feeling of gratitude for what Baba has given me already, then in that sense, the return is the feeling in the heart of love for Baba. And when I feel that love for Baba, for sure, Baba's love for me is also going to be reaching me. But the next stage, the stage of being in the fire of love and lost in love and absolutely nothing else within my consciousness, I think all of us would have had that experience for a few moments. I don't think anyone sitting here would have not had that experience, because I don't think you would have survived and be here still if you hadn't had that experience. And so you don't have to raise your hands or anything. But there is that moment of experience when it's just pure love and you're lost in it, and it feels like the fire of purification, the fire of God's love. And when that stage is developed more and more, then it's this stage of the fire of love that cleanses the soul of the things of the past, and so my sanskars can be transformed and changed. While I still try and have that yoga, but I'm not quite there, it's good, it's important. I'm connecting with Baba, developing my relationship with Baba, taking something from Baba, allowing Baba to work on me. But where for many of us we feel that after quite some time with Baba, or maybe even a short time with Baba, we haven't been able to transform our sanskars. Now, I think that the transformation of sanskars is only through yoga and the fire of yoga. And so this month, we're receiving all the points connected very specifically with volcanic yoga, the fire of yoga. And so if I can focus even for a few minutes and experience it and then gradually develop it, the transformation of sanskars would happen fast. And connected with transformation of sanskars also is being able to stop waste thoughts. Baba often talks about waste thoughts, and we would all acknowledge that overthinking is part of the story of waste thoughts. But where are my waste thoughts coming from? It goes back to my sanskars, surely. And so my sanskars with even a little bit of negativity about anything. And so that negative state is creating those waste thoughts. Criticism, negativity, comparison, these things. So the waste thoughts come, and I try to put a full stop to waste thoughts, but it's not happening. Baba has to keep, I don't know for how many years, Baba has kept reminding us of eliminate waste, eliminate waste. But it's because the sanskars haven't been transformed. And so can I work on this other level, not just trying to put a full stop, and it works for a few moments, and then the waste starts again, but working on my sanskars and letting myself experience the beauty of the fire of yoga, because it is a very powerful and beautiful experience. So if I'm working on that and the transformation of sanskars actually happens, then yes, my waste thoughts will finish. And the power that Baba wants us to have can be filled and used in the most appropriate way, according to the moment, according to the need. So today's merely again reflections on some of these things. And Didi, the power of Didi's srishti was akin to Brahma Baba's power of srishti, I would say. Because her drishti uplifted people, gave people another dimension to experience, gave them the faith that, yes, I am a soul, gave them the faith that, yes, this is Baba. I witnessed all these transformations happening in souls through Didi's drishti. And Didi had a very special time. Evening 4 o'clock, she had said to me to bring 4 people to her every day, and she would meet them at 4 o'clock in the evening, and she would have a little bit of a chat with them and then yoga with them. And she knew that the classes were being organized by others, and Didi wasn't used to conducting class, or definitely not reading the Murli in class. But when she would conduct the drishti with those 4 individuals, can you imagine all those years of power, and there's just 4, and Didi's giving drishti to each one? It really was powerful. And her motive for doing this was that others were doing classes, Dadiji was doing the Murli, but she wanted to be able to give something to the double foreigners as they came in those early days, end of 70s and early 80s. And so she created this method of sharing time with them to get to know them, but also to be able to give them yoga power and adrishti. And through that I could see how Didi was so totally perceptive. I'd bring people to her number-wise according to time, not effort, but whoever happened to be around, and it was so few that it wasn't even okay, let it all be people from Australia or UK. It wasn't anything like that, just whoever I happened to see that morning and fix the time with them. And it would have taken me years to get to know that individual. And even then, you don't always know a person in a way that is complete or accurate. You know them to a certain extent. But Didi would give drishti, and afterwards she would tell them something that they should work on, and it would be absolutely appropriate for them. And I would ask her afterwards, Didi, how did you know? And she said, I didn't know, it was Baba's touching. But obviously her mind was so clear and so connected with Baba that she was able to catch that touching. And the other thing about her, absolutely in everything she did, what would Baba have said? What would Baba have done? How did Baba do this? And so all the systems we see in Madhuban, giving gifts, I mean, imagine the maximum number in Madhuban at any given moment was about 200. And even then it was a lot, because you didn't have any of those other buildings. You just had the history hall, the rooms there, and you had the dormitories where the dadis used to stay behind Baba's room. And basically that was it. There weren't other rooms, and so many would be staying in rooms outside. But what happened was, 200, and for 200 people to receive gifts is one thing. And then just look at the numbers today, 20,000, 25,000. And everybody receives a little gift or a big gift, something from Madhuban. And again, that was Didi. Didi saying, Baba wanted everyone to carry away something that would remind them of Madhuban. And so we have to continue with the system of gifts. But in everything, not just that external thing, but everything would be, what did Baba do? What did Baba say? And of course she had those, being the first gopi, the one who surrendered first, she had literally the longest period of time with Baba before she was sent on service to Delhi. But then after Mama, the 4 years with Baba, again, day and night. And so on one level, the reward for her love and faith. But on the other level, a time for her to learn more and more, to do things in the way Baba would do them. If you speak to many of the sisters like Moini Didi, Subesh Didi, all that generation, then they'd say probably that the inspiration to surrender was from Didi. For some it was Mama, but especially for these souls it was Didi. So really an amazing, very incognito role. And of course going away in 1983, most people after that just didn't get to meet her, didn't get to know her. But her inspiration still very much there for Madhuban Nivasis, people like Raju Bhai, they'll talk about Dadiji, but they'll talk about how it was Didi who inspired them to surrender. So, an amazing soul, definitely one of the eight jewels. Baba always said that with time, each jewel will become clear. And so I think that the eight jewels are now clear, very clear. I think Aruna's wanting to ask something.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. Was there a reason why Didi didn't read the Murli?
I don't know the reason. In the sense that she always had a different role, and she would always have teachers play that role, whether in Delhi. In Delhi also she had, I think maybe it was, I never asked, so my assumption. But I think she knew that she had a very specific role and there could be others who could do that. And so she encouraged others to do it. And then of course when Baba became avyakt, Baba said, Didi is the might and Dadi is the mic. And so that system again started immediately after Baba left. So until the cremation, there was no Murli. So the Sunday, the Monday, the Tuesday, there was no Murli. And then Baba came the Tuesday night. And then the next morning, it was Dadiji on Baba's Gaddi reading the Murli. Her intention always was to fill the soul, whoever it is who was coming close to her, with such awareness and understanding that they would connect with Baba. That was her main focus. And where she saw that, because she could pick it up very quickly, that the soul wasn't making that direct connection and there was a distraction, she would talk to them about it and help them go beyond that distraction. So, any other question?
Regarding the different stages of love, I was just thinking you were saying that, you know, so many of us, we don't experience, you know, we've been around for many years, but we might not experience this real fire of love or the depth of love, or we get glimpses of it. But we do have the sort of normal type of, we do have love for Baba, but not that depth. So what's, I was just thinking, what is the bridge between the two? how can we, even after having been on a certain track of maybe ordinary efforts, make that shift to this deeper level of love so that our sanskaras can actually change? What is the, is there a key or specific method, or yeah, what is it?
I'm thinking about what I heard in a Bhog message on Mama's Day, and in that Baba had said that it hasn't been circulated except in Hindi, I think. I'm not sure, but it again came through Moini Didi. And in that, Baba was saying that Mama heard the knowledge, churned it, but also then understood it so deeply that she imbibed it immediately. And so this is how Mama became the embodiment of dharana and the embodiment of virtues and powers. So my feeling is that we hear the gyan, but we don't reflect on it sufficiently and allow it to sink in very deeply so that our connection with Baba is that much stronger, our appreciation of who Baba is very strong, but also of ourselves. I think we forget who we really are. And I don't just mean as a point of light. Of course, it's connected with that. But the stage, the responsibility that Baba has given us, if I were to remember what Baba was talking about today, that I am a world transformer, can I keep that in my awareness that my thoughts, my feelings are impacting everything around me? Then I'd give it a lot more attention. And if I'm paying attention to what Baba is saying and asking me to do, then the appreciation of who Baba is deeper, and the love for Baba grows deeper. I see the practical help it's giving me in my life.
So this churning, which in a way churning is one of the keys you're saying, right? So this churning, is it, because that is another issue I think many of us have, because we go through the day, we've got duties, we one situation to the next, where it's not always easy to have focused, especially when you haven't got practice, to stay focused on gyan. So is it good to start with doing writing or something, or having separate time set aside? I'm just trying to, because I haven't myself been able to do this, not during the day, when I'm active and doing things, practically speaking.
A way to begin on that journey is traffic control. Not just superficial, but really taking it seriously. The rest of the time I've been busy, busy, busy. Now during this time, can I really just focus on Baba and myself and cut out any other thoughts? And so learning to practice this and using that time in a very intense way is going to help the rest of the hour. But the other thing is that there's so many tasks which we know, and as we do them, it's automatic. We don't have to be thinking about them. Take the time to plan something, work it out, and then you don't have to keep going back and thinking about it again and again. And so let me make that plan for myself and then get on with it. But while my hands do the work, a lot of the time I can really spend in just reflecting on something that touched me from Baba Smurli, instead of just letting the mind go here and there and just waste that precious moment. So can I condense and do what I need to do in the shortest space possible without engaging my intellect in it for that full period? It's something that's been coming up a lot, not just now, but in over the last several months. Baba saying that it's the karma yoga that's important. So that stage where, when we ask Dadi, how long do you meditate? And she says, ask me how long I don't meditate. And so what was she doing? She was meeting people, she was sitting in meetings, she was planning things, going here, going there. But she let her mind stay up above most of the time. And when she did need to come down, she would, and she would know what was going on in the kitchen, she would know what was happening with people's sanskars, she would know all of that, but she didn't give it extra time and energy. You think of it and okay, finish. I don't need to repeat that thought in my mind. So karma yoga. Yoga and the karma in a very simple, easy way. Okay.
Yeah, thank you for coming, gentlemen. I know your time is precious and thank you for coming, I'm saying. Yeah.